Welcome back to the Buffalo Bread Podcast. Here we are in week 18, and I apologize to everybody that we did not record last week. Happy New Year. We're in the new year. 2024 was the year of general deathly ill sickness for the entire family under my roof. And this is that struck again. You know, I was counting it up, and my young son has had four double ear infections, RSV, COVID. Oh. The flu and several colds just from August 5th to present. And so we were down low again, on the injured reserve list for the last couple of weeks. So thank you all for your patience. And we're glad to be with you here this week to preview what can only be described as a preseason game for the Buffalo Bills, and then look forward into the wild card weekend and what that might spell for our beloved Bills. Dan, tell me you're healthy, because I need some good news.
I mean, I'm not sick. I don't know if my doctor would say I'm healthy, but I'm definitely not sick. Sure. Man, shout out to Theo, little guy toughing it out.
Oh, man.
Trooper. So are you, he's in daycare, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. It's an incubator. I sent both of my kids to daycare, right? But by kindergarten, germs are going to bounce off the kid, right? Unfortunately, you and your wife, given your age, like me and my wife experienced, your immune systems won't benefit from that type of exposure. You're just going to get sicker as you get older because of the kid. But the kid is going to be impervious to germs pretty soon. Yeah.
Love
he's going to be a walking
him.
Antibody. Yeah. It's going to be great.
I'll take all of it as long as he's good.
Yeah, he will be. He's definitely going to be good. I wouldn't sweat it. Yeah, man, we got some catching up to do, though. So I'm happy to report very briefly that one Brandon Bennett, friend of the pod, not friend of the Bills, loved his time with Bills Mafia.
That's awesome.
Dude, we hit Hammer's Lot. We hit a bunch of different tailgate spots. I've never seen anyone, and I've brought fans from opposing teams to those games before. I've never seen Bills Mafia embrace an opponent's fan in the way I saw them embrace Brandon. We were carrying around a bunch of blue lights, and we were shotgunning beers as a way to, like, ingratiate ourselves to whatever crowd we were with. So I mean, we went through, must have gone through like a 30 rack or something like that. It was absolutely incredible. He loved it. He also found some of his people. Not a lot of Pats fans out for this particular game, but he did find some of his people. And dude, it was a nail biter. It was a nail biting game.
And it was a surprisingly good game for what was thought to have been a blowout, even by Brandon, the Pats fan, the resident Pats fan.
40-6. They weren't going to score a touchdown, said.
I know. And then when we were texting while you guys were in the stadium about the, at the midpoint, it being 14-0 and Patriots, and I was like, oh, this is icky.
Hang on. Like you and Brandon have your own text chain?
What? No.
Are you replacing me?
On ours. You're on the chain, man. You just weren't paying attention.
Brandon, I probably wasn't just paying attention. Yeah. I mean, let's go back to the part where I said we shotgun 30 beers. So I probably wasn't paying attention.
You may not have been in the state of mind to read at that point.
Definitely
that's
not.
That's fine. No worries. But I love that for him to be. And also, you know, yes, Bills Mafia is wonderful. We both know this. Brandon is also, I can say this, a relatively likable guy from anybody. He's outgoing and charismatic. So I think that helps for sure.
Oh. Absolutely, yeah. He was in his element, let me tell you. If Bills Mafia could have adopted Brandon as like a spirit animal that day, they would have. So yeah.
He's
great time though.
Token Patriot.
It was a great time of the game, that's for sure.
And to your point about the Patriots fans not being present at the game, a vast majority of Pats Nation, not Brandon, but others, they hung up their Brady jerseys and then put on their Mahomes jerseys in like 2019.
Are you calling Patriots fans fair weather fans?
Oh yes, absolutely. The same as the magnificent, you know, proliferation of Chiefs fans on both coasts of this nation and all over the world. It's just how it goes. Like every generation has had a team that gets super hot and people come out of the woodwork. Oh yeah, I'm totally a Patriots fan. Or, oh yeah, I'm totally a Chiefs fan. Even now, I'm totally a Bills fan. There are Bills Mafia wagoners for sure.
Oh, absolutely. But for those of you in Patriots Nation, I'm happy to report there is no one more Boston than Brandon. And he is for sure never straying from the path of the New England Patriots. And he saw a lot to like with Drake May, the guys the Bills are going to be facing this week. But before we talk about the future of one franchise, shall we talk about the past of another? Shout out to the New Jersey Jets, 0-2 against the Bills this year, and Aaron Rodgers just looking worse with every subsequent game.
Yes.
Listen, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this Jets game. I don't know that there's a lot to take away other than that is a franchise that needs to tear it down and rebuild it. And I don't think Rex Ryan is the guy. Do you? He's lobbying hard for that job, man.
I don't think Rex Ryan is the guy. And it may be worthwhile for Woody Johnson's teenage son to rebuild it in Roblox or something and then see how that looks.
God, that's awesome.
Because of the news that came out that they snubbed a Cortland Sutton trade because Woody Johnson's son said his Madden rating wasn't very high, which is
It was the Judy trade. It was the Jerry Judy trade.
Oh, it was Jerry Judy. I thought it was Cortland Sutton. I got the wrong Denver. Wrong Denver receiver. But it's just like everything I hear about that franchise just makes me feel worse and worse for you know, all of the Jets fans out there, the long-suffering Jets fans, and longer every day.
There was a lot of quit, and there was a lot of quit in that team. Yeah. I was watching that game, and like the first couple of drives kind of went as we had predicted on our social medias, which is, listen, Rodgers is going to dink and dunk. He's going to find soft spots in the zone, despite his like decrepit age and ability. He's still good enough to do that against an average NFL defense, which is what the Bills are, purely average in defense at this point. But the Bills, Havoc D, did what it always does, got turnovers. And after those first two drives ended the way they did for the Jets, you could tell that team was ready to leave. Sauce Gardner said as much. He's like, listen, we're not going to the playoffs, and there's definitely guys not giving it their all. I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
Honesty. Okay, Sauce. Honesty out of Sauce. All right.
All right, condiment. Well, so the thing that I'll say is, like, watching that game, and I noticed watching the Jets game, there are two reasons that teams get chippy. And like, one is like sincere hatred. I do think that there's some animosity between the Jets and the Bills just because they're conference opponents. They see each other. You have Deion Dawkins squawking and talking crap, which we all love. And so there is a little bit of that. But the two base reasons that teams will get chippy, one is that they're highly competitive and dislike each other. The second is that one team is so outmatched that it hates itself. And I think that's what we saw. The Jets players squawking after plays and getting in people's faces was their frustration at how abysmally their season went. A season of destiny where national pundits were saying that they were going to take the East from the Bills and go to the playoffs and break their playoff drought. And here they sit at 3-13. Are they 3-13?
4-12. Yeah.
So yeah, to have three times as many losses as wins on a season where they were supposed to be contending for a Super Bowl is... They were fighting because they were mad at themselves just as much as they were mad at the Bills.
Yeah. I mean, what is attractive about this job? Like, I really do wonder. It feels like Garrett Wilson is going to be the next wide receiver to ask for a trade this offseason. He just seems really discontent with that franchise and how things are going. You've got Quinnen Williams. You've got Will McDonald, who has shown out this year as a really good edge. You've got Jermaine Johnson, depending on how healthy he comes back. DJ Reed is already like, yep, I'm testing free agency. I mean, what, you don't have a quarterback, right? You may not have a wide receiver one, depending on what the team does with Wilson and Adams. What's attractive about this job other than it is one of 32, right? Like, you could have said that about the Panthers job last year, but I would argue the Panthers, at least at the time, they had a young QB, a pretty young defensive core, some stuff to build around, right? And then adequate draft capital and cap space. I mean, what do the Jets really have?
Christian Gonzalez? I don't know.
Yeah. No, the Jets don't have anything. Yeah.
So the problem is, I think the biggest problem when you're a head coach looking for a position is you want to know that the front office is unified to let you do what you need to do to build a winner. And this team doesn't have that. They don't have strong leadership. I don't know that their owners even care about football, really, like, because they don't seem to understand how to pick the right people to do the thing. And it even shows in their like weird, you know, getting a former GM to lead a search to find a new GM seems like a very strange approach.
There's a reason that former GM.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is there's a reason he's no. It's the reason it'd be like Oh, somebody even said this on X, you know, it's like having your ex-wife pick your new wife. Like there's a reason that person might not have your best interest in heart. And they're just silly. They just do Jetsian things all the time. And poor, poor, long-suffering Jared. I feel bad for him every time I see anything in the news about them.
Oh, God. Thoughts and prayers for Jared, man. Yeah, like this season. But it went exactly the way he predicted it. I think of our friends of the pod. Brandon pretty much nailed the Pat season at this point. And as much as he enjoyed watching Drake May play, he's still like, Drake May got the hell beat out of him this year. Please leave him alone in week 18. Please don't play him. Jared nailed the Jets. Steve was the only one that was way, way off on his prediction. He screamed from the mountaintops, Dolphins Super Bowl. Now, in fairness, they still have a chance to squeak in, which we'll talk about here as we talk about potential Bills opponents and the scenarios that they need in order to get a 7 seed. But yeah, man, out of all of the coaching vacancies, this feels like the most full rebuild right now. Even if Jerod Mayo gets canned in New England, you've got Christian Gonzalez on the defensive side. You've got Drake May on the offensive side. You've got a trio of young receivers that you can kind of do some stuff with if you sign like a T. Higgins. You've got cap space. You really just got to fix the offensive line and the pass rush. And that's a competitive team right away. The Jets, again, other than being 1 of 32, I mean, they seem very, very unattractive, particularly for a lot of the top candidates that are out there in Ben Johnson and Mike Vrabel. So I don't know, man. Well,
and now I realize that I said Christian Gonzalez when we were talking about the Jets. He's on the Patriots. Yeah.
That's okay. You said at the very beginning of this, you have been illness addled. So it's
sure. Definitely have the flu right now. I mean,
let's be honest. Other than the Bills this season, all these AFC East teams kind of blend together with the same problems.
Yeah, they do. They do. And, you know, we can roast Steve for his Dolphins in the Super Bowl take if they get eliminated this weekend. But I think they're the only team that even looks differently. You know, they look competitive. So, but definitely the Jets and Patriots look, basically you just change the logos and I'm like, oh, okay. But I do think that there's so much more to see from the Patriots going forward than the Jets. The Jets are a mess. And I do think that talking about this weekend's upcoming matchup with the Patriots, should the Bills win, Bills backups win against the Patriots, the Patriots have locked in the number one overall pick in the draft, which if they trade even down to the second overall pick, could be worth like three number second round picks extra.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the kind of ammunition you could use to rebuild an entire franchise in one draft.
Oh, yeah, for sure. If you feel like you got the right player personnel manager in there, which, again, I don't think the Patriots know that they have. I mean, honestly, if I'm the Pats, what is stopping you from going out and hiring like a Lewis Riddick who's had a really good run in this league? And then, or, you know, back up the Brinks truck for Mike Vrabel.
Yeah.
Hope that he can, with his vast experience, hire the right offensive mind to work with Drake May. And then let him pick his GM of choice. I mean, at least be aligned, right?
Yeah.
Like a Kyle Shanahan. Oh, God, now I'm going to blank on it. Who's the, is it John Lynch? Who's the
John GM? Lynch for the Broncos? Yeah.
No, the GM for the 49ers. I think
it's John Lynch, the 49ers GM?
Yeah, okay. I'm almost positive it is, yeah.
Former DB and big hit master, John Lynch?
Yeah, that guy, okay. Yeah. So, I don't know. We'll see. But enough about talking about what's going to happen in the off season with these teams that have been eliminated. Yep. We're going to have plenty of time to do that. JJ, the Bills do have a week 18 game, which they are more or less looking like they're going to treat as a bye. Josh Allen will start in a very, very limited capacity to continue his consecutive, start streak. And then I would imagine after the first series, we're going to see a lot of the starters pulled and get some rest as they gear up for whoever their wild card matchup is going to be. JJ, I don't know that there's a lot of value in talking about keys to victory because I think both teams are probably in a place where they're going to rest some of their injured starters. Bills with a look on the playoffs, Patriots with a look on next season. What are you expecting out of this game?
I do expect Josh Allen. There's three things that I think that we were talking about pre-pod when we were getting ready to record. That I think the Bills are mindful of. They say that, you know, this week is we're trying to go 1-0. We don't care about this. We don't care about that. But I do think they, of course, care about the start streak because McDermott has said as much. Josh Allen has said as much. Currently, Josh Allen is 13th on the NFL all-time quarterback start streak list, and he's behind three Tom Brady seasons, three streaks that Tom Brady accomplished. Tom Brady holds the 10th, 11th, and 12th positions on the list with streaks of 110, Josh Allen's current streak, 111, and 112. The thing that I think will be most funny is with this being the last regular season, because that's only talking about regular season games in a row, with this being the last regular season game of the year, Josh Allen will move up to tie Tom Brady at 11 with 111 with a start this weekend and split up that block. So Tom Brady will be like 10th, tied with Josh Allen for 11th, and then 12th and 13th. And so it's going to be a an interesting thing. But that's going to put Josh Allen next season could get all the way up to 8th on the list with Joe Flacco being holding the streak of 122 games. And so it's an exciting time. I think they're going to do that. That's one of the stats I think they're going to be mindful of. The second one is that James Cook is 19 yards away from a two consecutive 1,000-yard rushing seasons. And so I think they're going to be thoughtful of that potentially. Depending, I mean, if James Cook has anything going on medically, they'll sacrifice that particular statistical output for making sure he's healthy for the playoffs. But if he's good to go, I think that you might see Josh Allen and the starters on offense get the first couple series with 3, 4, 5, 6 handoffs to James Cook to try to get him those last 20 yards.
Absolutely.
Third one is most different or most unique players on a team to catch a touchdown. In a season, the Bills are tied with a bunch of other teams for 13. If they get a 14th player a passing touchdown in this game, which is likely given that all backups will be playing, that they would set an NFL record for a season.
So let's do predictions sure to go wrong. Who is number 14? Has Reggie Gilliam caught one yet this year? Because he's my guy.
And he has not.
I would put money that he is number 14 for sure.
Okay. I say it's going to be like a dark horse, like a KJ Hamler.
Oh yeah. I could see that happening for sure.
Cause he could be a call up for sure. Cause I think he also plays defensive he plays special teams. So
yeah. So he's got some added value there, but I mean, based on what I've been reading around, from reports around the team, they're very cognizant of this record and wanting to own this record to really validate the everybody eats mantra. To me, Reggie Gilliam is the perfect guy that you want breaking that record. Some sort of little leak out of the backfield in the red zone, right? Gilliam time. Let the dude do it and let him live on in the history books for the NFL and the Buffalo Bills forever.
Well, one thing I love about, the whole 13 different players that have a touchdown reception right now is that, well, two things I love. One is that Mac Hollins is number one on the list with 5 total TDs. And two is that Josh Allen is one of the players that has a receiving TD.
Which is incredible.
From the San Francisco game. Yeah, like that's a really fun thing.
It's just absolutely incredible. I freaking love it. Oh my God. Unreal. But, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say my pick for that 14th touchdown is a fat guy touchdown. I think they have not done a tackle eligible leak in the red zone. And I could see that being a play, especially with somebody like Mitch Trubisky in. You could maybe an Alec Anderson or Ryan Vandermark, who I think is 6'7", right? Like somebody like that who has some length could be sneaking out.
We could see it. We could absolutely see it. That's for sure. All right, dude. I think that satiates me for talking about this Week 18 game. Because
in the regular season, we can button it up.
Yeah. We can absolutely button it up. It is 110% done for me. Wait, is Gilliam on the roster?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm just looking at their active roster right now. I don't see him listed.
He's listed. Fullback is broken out from running backs. So it's probably a different line.
I don't see him on there, but I know he's on the 53 man. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Cool.
I'm looking at the ESPN depth chart and he's definitely listed as a fullback. And he's played way more snaps in the past 3 weeks than he did the rest of the season.
I'm telling you, dude, they're lining it up for Reggie. Mm-hmm. Give it to Reggie. Let Reggie be the one. Do we want to bet something on this? I feel like we should bet something on this. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. See, this is tough because I don't know. I think I would only be betting either that it is or is not Reggie Gilliam. I wouldn't be able to put my money on any player of my own.
I'll give that to you. I'll give you Reggie Gilliam or the field. I'll give that to you because I really do think it's going to be Gilliam.
I like it. What are we betting? Is it bourbon? I think right now I owe you two and you owe me one bottles of bourbon.
Yes.
We've not settled that up yet.
So it's a net gain of plus one for me, and you owe me a wood chopping sword as well.
Oh, yeah. which
I think is held up with customs right now for the last 6 months.
Because they only make them in Siberia. There's like an old guy named Vlad who hand smiths them, and it only cost me $100,000.
Exactly. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
So, all right, I'll give you Gilliam or the field, bottle of bourbon, done and done. All right, so.
Book it.
All right, dude, so let's move on because we are not in a position where we can do a full wild card round preview because we have yet to know who the Bills' opponent is going to be. But there are options, JJ. There are options, and going from least likely to most likely, this is what they are. We've got the Miami Dolphins, which with a Chiefs win and a Bengal loss would find themselves in.
The Bengals are the least likely, though.
Oh, I thought the Dolphins were the least likely.
No, because the Dolphins get in if they win and Denver wins, as long as the Bengals... No, they get in if Denver loses and they
Denver's
win.
Denver's got to lose.
Even if the Bengals win.
Right. Oh, interesting.
So
okay.
The Bengals need to win and have Denver and Miami lose. Yeah.
Yep.
Because
both
of the,
gotta lose.
They have a strength of schedule tiebreaker, I believe.
That's right. You are correct. Yes.
Because the Dolphins had the privilege of playing the Bills twice, which boosts their strength of schedule quite a bit.
That's correct.
Even though played the Patriots and Jets twice as well.
Oh, and the Bengals got the Ravens and the Steelers in there as well. It's weird. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. So, all right, cool. So the Bengals, which seems to be the one Bills Mafia is most skittish about, they're not the one I want the most, but I wouldn't be afraid to play these Bengals. Just a different situation from what it was a couple of years ago. Then we have the Dolphins, familiar foe, which I wouldn't sleep on because, I mean, you know, Tua's not healthy, but it is hard to beat a divisional opponent three times in 1 year. We have seen this happen in the playoffs before where an unlikely upset has occurred under these circumstances. Then we've got the Chargers, and the only reason the Chargers are in, but they're a less likely 7 seed. Based on their win scenario, where they could go as high as the 5th seed. And then we've got the Denver Broncos. Am I missing anybody at this point?
No, that's it.
That's really it, right?
Yeah.
So, JJ, out of that foursome, that fearsome foursome, what's the team you would want to see the Bills face the most, and what is the team you'd want to see the Bills face the least?
So, I would want to see probably... this is tough. I would want to see the Broncos the most, rookie QB. I would want to see the Dolphins the least, but it's a very close tie with the Bengals. Because
here's the reason.
So the Bengals have a terrible defense. They can't stop anybody, but they've been playing quite a bit better just the past few weeks. And I'll take the recency trends over the rest of the season because seasons are long. A lot of things can change. I think that the Bengals' offense is playing better than any of those four teams, and their defense is just doing enough to give them wins because they're on a streak right now, and Joe Burrow is playing out of his freaking mind. And I'm most afraid in the playoffs of elite passing attacks, of which the Bengals have the most elite in the league right now.
Okay. I can go with this.
Plus, for those who might be most afraid of a third matchup with the Dolphins, who the Bills played tight in their most recent meeting, it would be in Buffalo, cold weather game. Tua is not
against
good.
A winning team. Yeah.
Tua's not good against a winning team in a very cold weather game.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Interesting. Okay. So it's interesting because the team you most want to play is the team I least want to play.
Is it Denver has an elite defense?
Their pass rush is elite. I think they do have some, despite having Pat Surtain, I do think they got some holes in the secondary. But that pass rush is pretty elite. Their time to pressure, their get off, and their sack percentage with organic, four down organic pressure, is like somewhere between top 5 and top 8 in the league in most of those categories. Their success rate on defense is also higher than you would expect. But dude, it's the offensive matchup to me that really scares me. This is not an efficient run team in Denver. But when it comes to the pass game, here's a couple of things I think we need to note about this squad. Their wide receivers are all big, fast, and tall. And our DBs, for the most part, while they can play physical, they're a little bit undersized, and there's not a ton of team speed in our secondary outside of, I would say, Cole Bishop, who has really flashed the past couple of weeks. This is also the Denver Broncos are the number three team in the league when it comes to getting wide receiver separation. Their wide receivers know how to separate and run crisp routes, which is another problem for us, right? And then finally, that offensive line pass protects, man. Their percent of pressure allowed for Bo Nix is number four in the league. So they've got wide receivers that present individual matchup problems for us. They have a QB who's going to have time to pick apart the zone when we lean on zone. He's got big targets to throw to. And listen, outside of Greg Rousseau, our pass rush has been a problem all year. I don't care if it's a rookie or not. You give anybody three and a half seconds with those wide receivers, they're going to find targets. I think the Bills win that game, but I think it's like a 27-24, and we're all like, Jesus, the season is over next week with whoever we play in the divisional round type of game. So I don't want to play Denver for those reasons.
Counselor, I'd like to counter argument with the Ed Oliver defense. He proved
Shaky defense, Counselor, but I'll allow it.
Thank you. He proved in the Lions game that he can make a fool of an elite interior offensive lineman when properly motivated, and I feel like this might be a game for that. Ragnow, I think, is as good or better a center than Denver has, and Ed Oliver was eating his lunch all day long. Plus, the Denver Broncos have had great protection. They are good against organic four-man pressure, which is a problem for the Bills. But I think also the Bills playing seven in coverage better. They play seven in coverage better than a lot of defenses. Even though they're middle of the pack statistically, I think when they have their preferred outside corners and all the starters that they expect to play at safety and linebacker, this team can hold up against a rookie quarterback, particularly because he's probably not seen a defense as multiple as Buffalo Bills can put on the field. And I like the Babich and McDermott kind of approach to rookie quarterbacks. They blitzed the hell out of Drake May, and he handled it incredibly well. So I could see them learning. Maybe, you know, you win or you learn, and they thankfully won the game, but also probably learned that potentially blitzing the hell out of Bo Nix might not be the answer, and that instead cycling and confusing coverage might be a better solution with more things muddying the passing windows.
I do think the disguised coverage looks that the Bills do, and they're one of the best teams in the league regardless of who's in there. I do think it'll matter, and I do think it'll have an impact, but at the end of the day, you got to win matchups, right? And those are some big, fast, strong targets that he has to throw to that are in space. I was watching some Broncos film, and like the wide receiver trio they were rolling out there, led by one Courtland Sutton, I'm like, they just look bigger than everybody else. What's going on? So I pulled their stat. There's not a single person who's under 6'3 in their top four wide receivers. It's a huge wide receiver core. And they're not just possession guys. They got some speed guys there too. So I hear all of that. On the Ed Oliver point, I think if Dan Campbell had to do it again, he would not put Ragnow on Oliver one-on-one as much as he did. So, I mean, listen, Ed's been double teamed at a career high rate this year, which is why he's disappeared a lot. And because he is a lighter defensive tackle, he really does have a hard time if he doesn't have a really good get off busting through a double team. I think Sean Payton is the experienced head coach as he is going to see that. And he's going to be like, if Daquan Jones beats us on the inside, I can live with that. But if we allow Ed Oliver to do that, I would resign tomorrow. So I think Ed is just going to see a ton of double teams. But I don't want to get too far into a pregame analysis because we don't know if it's going to be the Broncos. Though, all they got to do is beat Carson Wentz and the backups for the Kansas City Chiefs, and they're in. So they are the most likely seven seed for the Bills to play. Let's talk a little bit about the Bengals. I put a comp out there on social media. The Bengals game would be a revisiting of the Rams game for me, where you've got two very vulnerable defenses, two elite QBs, and on the opposing side, two all-pro wide receivers and Jamar Chase and T. Higgins. Maybe for the last time is that dynamic duo in Cincinnati for Joe Burrow to throw to. I feel that game is a shootout, regardless of conditions, unless it's 70-mile-an-hour winds. That game becomes the Rams game to me on steroids. And I worry about the Bills in games like that in the playoffs because we haven't seen them win a shootout against a really good team in the postseason in the McDermott era.
Well, I think too, you know, the other thing that's my number one most worrying matchup is because Joe Burrow is playing better than any of the other quarterbacks on the potential list, and their outside weapons are the exact kind that have hurt the Bills over and over throughout the season. Even if the Bills haven't, you know, lost a lot of games, they have definitely given up a lot of yards, and they've relied on turnovers and kind of fluky plays, penalties, different things to like give them to either shut down drives, give them extra possessions. And that's the kind of thing in the playoffs we know you cannot count on. Teams play as clean as they possibly can. Refs tend to keep their flags in their pockets. And, you know, the Bills can't count on some randomness to save them. And so I'm most afraid of Burrow and that offense coming into Buffalo and putting on a clinic. Because, again, it's you know, scar tissue, but the Bills' pass rush disappearing in big games and their coverage being too leaky, too soft in big games in the zone that's been every playoff exit to this point. So,
yep, absolutely.
Yeah, that's why I'm really hopeful that Denver just takes care of business against the Chiefs' backups, and then they're walking into Buffalo next week.
Yeah, yeah. I've got the Bengals as number two that I wouldn't want to see on my list. I go Broncos, Bengals. I'm not really rating the Chargers in here because I think the Chargers are gonna. I mean, again, they've got a chance to be a six or a five seed. There'd have to be some weird stuff happen in their game and the Broncos game for them to end up in the seven seed. I just don't want to play the Dolphins, right? I don't want to play the Dolphins. And it's not because they scare me for any particular reason. It is simply that they don't deserve to be there. They have shown all season they can't beat winning teams. I am sick of this team constantly chewing up media space. And because I have said all of those things, karma will come to kill us. And the one win that the Dolphins get this year will be in Buffalo in the playoffs. That's it. I'm just worried about my own negativity I've put into the universe, and I want to play the Dolphins. Yeah. And from a serious standpoint, Tua's not healthy, which is an advantage to the Bills. Snoop Huntley, I don't care who he's playing on the Bills team, probably not beating that Bills defense and Josh Allen in Buffalo in the playoffs. Dude, the rush game, the big vulnerability of this Bills defense, the Dolphins have just not been able to get it going this year. Now, Isaiah Wynn did make a recent return to that lineup, and while I think he's overrated a bit in pass protection, he's a great run blocker. So he does make that Miami Dolphins run game go a little bit better. I worry that divisional familiarity, those games are always weird. The Dolphins have played, including the playoffs, several close games in recent memory in Buffalo in adverse elements. And it's taken, I think, last second field goals the last two times to put that team away. I don't want that, man. I don't want that drama. I don't want divisional weirdness leaking into my wild card weekend.
I hear you, and I remember the Bills playing against Skylar Huntley 2 years ago in the playoffs.
Skylar Thompson.
Yeah. Skylar Thompson. Yeah. Oh, Snoop Huntley's the current backup. Yeah.
Who they played when Jackson got hurt a couple of years ago in that COVID season in the playoffs. Yes. Yeah.
But yeah, I remember them playing against Skylar Thompson when I was on vacation. I'm actually, you know, if God willing, everybody is healthy enough to travel, I'll be flying out on Monday. And so I'll have a different backdrop for the next pod.
Nice.
But to the same vacation destination that we were at the last time the Bills played the Dolphins in the playoffs, which I hope doesn't happen again. That's the strong hope, because I, again, don't want to see the Dolphins. My list is number one, least desirable team is Cincinnati. to Miami. I don't really count the Chargers because I think, like you said, a lot of stuff has to go really wonky this weekend for them to end up being the 7. And so it's really Bengals number 1, Dolphins 2, and then Broncos 3. I'd most like to see the Broncos in the playoffs. Put the Chargers between the Broncos and the Dolphins if you have to. But I do remember that game and remember thinking, wow, this team looked pretty terrible against a backup QB at a home game that they should be just absolutely walking over.
Dude, oh God, that whole game was a mess. That whole game was a mess. But again, it's the curse of playing a divisional opponent 3 times in a single season. It's tough. It's tough to go 3-0, man. Even Belichick succumbed to it a couple of times in the postseason. So, yeah, man. For me, it is least likely Denver. Bo Nix is not a traditional rookie QB to me. He's had some games where he has looked terrible this season, but great offensive line, great pass protection, wide receivers that are a matchup problem for our secondary, especially given what our health situation is right now. I don't want to see that team. Number 2, the Bengals. I think it's a shootout. I'm hesitant to think the Bills can win a shootout in the postseason because they haven't before, but if there is a squad built for it, it is this squad. And then the team I least want to see, the Dolphins, because I've talked so much crap about it. It is what Steve needs for his moment of redemption. Like, all the karmic forces are just coming into really bad focus for us if that happens. I just really need Denver to take care of business, even though I don't. I just really need Denver to take care of business at this point. So, yeah.
Same. That's what I choose.
Yep. All right. Cool, man. All right. Do we care about scores for week 18?
I don't. It doesn't matter. No, I don't. This game is a chance. The only thing that matters for the Bills is to get, because they have to dress some of their starters, get those guys out of that game healthy, and then
as quickly as possible.
Yeah, as quickly as possible. I expect to see the Bills running the ball and punting a lot. And so, we'll see what happens.
So then the only thing we really have a prediction sure to go wrong about is who, if anyone, scores touchdown number 14. I've got Gilliam. You've got the field.
Yep.
More specifically, Thick Six. You got an offensive lineman, maybe Alec Anderson catching it.
Asterisk my field to say potential tackle eligible play in the red zone.
Sounds good. Well, we will see how it goes, sir. And then after this week, it is on to the postseason. So for all of you listening at home, like, share, and subscribe wherever you get your podcast, Google, Apple, and YouTube, and Spotify. And as always, go Bills.
Go Bills.